Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them, and stood in the plain, in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all." Let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you would help us today. Lord, help us to be attentive to your word. God, I pray that you give us a quiet spirit. Lord, I pray that I would say what you have me to say. Lord, I pray that you just fill me with your power, Lord, and Lord, I want to just be a vessel, just be a tool that can be used by you. Lord, help me to be yielding to your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would help us as listeners, Lord, and even myself, Lord. I pray that we would just listen to your word, Lord, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And God, this may not be something that is decided today, Lord, but Lord, I pray that the thought would be taken with them and that it would, the Holy Spirit, you would just bring it back to their memory, bring it back to their mind. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. Help our preacher and Mrs. Ross is their way today. Help them just have an enjoyable time away. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's go to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. We read in Luke chapter number 6, the story of Jesus choosing his disciples. And I think it's an interesting story. I do want to draw to your attention. It came to pass in those days that he went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. You know, big decisions. These were the 12 men that he was going to disciple personally. And he spent a night in prayer about that. And I think that's important. Mark chapter number 6. Look at verse number 7. So Jesus called the 12 out. He handpicked 12 men. Now, I think it would be neat. I mean, of all the opportunities that you could be given to be handpicked by Jesus Christ, say, "I want this one right here." What made him choose? I don't know. Some of them, I believe it was probably their work ethic, honestly. And I don't know on all of them, but, you know, why did he choose Matthew, a publican? I mean, why did he choose him? But I don't know all those answers. Maybe it's something we'll find out in heaven. But in verse number 7, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two." Now listen to what God gives these 12 men. "And gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they," who's this they? The 12 disciples. "And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." Amazing power that Jesus just gave to these disciples. But I want to, if you go back to Luke chapter number 6, we're going to look at one disciple today. Luke chapter number 6. One disciple who honestly stands out from the rest of them. Now, we all read this, you know, read the story or read the 12 being chosen. But there was one who, in this short description of the 12 men that were chosen, there's one that we have a brief description of. And that's who we're going to look at this morning. And I want to talk to you about this thought. It'll make sense as we continue. And I got an illustration to help it make sense. I'm going to talk about this, painting the whole. Painting the whole. I said, "Brother Chad, what are you talking about?" I'll explain to it, all right? Painting the whole. But Luke chapter number 6, look at verse number 16. Bible says, "And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor." Of the whole list that is written down in the Bible, there is one man that has a description associated with him. Now, any place that you go in the Bible that I know of, I don't know of any good thing that is said about Judas Iscariot. All right? There, you can look at a lot of different places in the Bible. Matthew 27:3, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him," all right? "Judas, which kept the bag," and it talks about him being a thief, all right? So even what we would think, well, he was given a responsibility, but then the Bible says he was a thief. He stole out of it, okay? And I don't understand, I don't understand the mind of God, obviously, okay? That's kind of fitting for humans not to understand the mind of God. But I don't understand, Jesus chose 12. Out of all the disciples that he could have chosen, he chose 12. And there's one place in the Bible says, and he knew that he had a devil. Okay? Interesting. Why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot? Did Jesus know, in the foreknowledge of Jesus, did Jesus know that Judas never would accept him? Did Jesus know that, but still wanted to give? Because listen, everybody has a free choice. Young people, you all have a free choice. Adults, we all have a free choice. I wonder if Jesus said, "I'm going to give this, I don't know about him, but I want to give him a chance. I want to give him a chance." You know, all of us are given chances. You know what this morning? This is a chance. You're giving a chance. And I don't know who all is here this morning, but I guarantee some are in here that whom I will be speaking to. Statistics tell us some will be in here that I am speaking to. But Judas Iscariot, how could there be a Judas? How could there be a man that for 3 years of his life, I mean, of all the people that you could sit under, for 3 years he sat under Jesus Christ and he watched the miracles that happened. And he spent the time with Jesus. Maybe those close times when maybe him and Jesus just had a personal talk. I wonder how Judas could betray Jesus. I often wonder so many people today can betray Jesus. How can a person betray Jesus after all that they have done for them? How could he spend 3 years watching miracles and even perhaps performing miracles? We went to the book of Mark, and you know what Jesus gave to even Judas? Power over unclean spirits? Power to heal somebody? So I wonder if Judas was sitting there and maybe he put his hands on somebody, and because of not of his power, but because of the power that Jesus had given him, he put his hands on somebody and that person was healed. And he saw that happen. But did it ever touch his heart? He saw maybe somebody get saved, but it never touched his heart. And I think that there's sometimes, if Judas was in our church today, and there are Judases in our churches today, there are people that on a regular basis, betray Jesus Christ. You say, "Brother Chad, didn't Peter really deny Christ also?" Yeah, he did. I heard one man say this, and I thought it was funny, but it said a lot too. Judas and Peter both betrayed Jesus, didn't they? Honestly. But Peter hung around. Judas hung himself. I thought, man, that's kind of good. Judas self-destructed. Okay? He couldn't deal with the guilt. He went out and hung himself. Denying Jesus Christ, when you deny Jesus Christ, it's got repercussions. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But Judas Iscariot. Are there Judases in our churches today? Absolutely. There are Judases that, listen, you know what Judas did? He grew up, listen, for 3 years of his life, he was under the best influence he could possibly be. And it kind of makes me feel better. Honestly, it's like, I get discouraged sometimes. It's like, why can't we keep a young person? Or why can't we keep somebody in church? Ultimately, it was Judas's decision. He was under the best circumstances. there could be no better circumstance. Don't blame your circumstances. Don't blame those that are trying to help you, okay, for your shortcomings. All right? Judas had the perfect opportunity to serve God, but he chose not to. He chose not to. So what was different about Judas? What was different about Judas? Judas would have been in our church. He would have been the one sitting in the pews, and he watches somebody come forward, a soul that is destined for hell. He watches that person come forward, and he watches that person kneel at an altar, and he watches that person accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, but there's nothing that goes on inside. He's cold. He's heartless. There's no emotion. He sees the miracles, but he doesn't get excited. He sees the blessings that happen in his church, but he doesn't get excited. He's just there. He's just along for the ride. So what about Judas? What about Judas? Jesus said there will be those that deny him. But you know what Jesus said about those that deny him? Jesus said that he would deny them before his Father. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Let me say this morning. It is dangerous to betray Jesus Christ. Every place that Judas Iscariot's name is mentioned, he's called a traitor, and he's called one that betrayed the Lord. Or something else bad. You know, Satan entered into him. That's a bad thing, okay, if you didn't know that. That's not a positive thing in life, okay? But how could that happen? How could he sit, like young people, like a lot of you do? How could he sit under preaching all the time and watch miracles like a lot of you do and still betray Jesus Christ? How could he do that? I don't know. How could you do that? Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." My friend, you're in a very dangerous position if you have been given all that you have been given and then you still deny Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard it said, and I don't know. I wonder if there's a special spot in hell for Judas. You know, I know ultimately, I know ultimately Jesus still had to go to the cross. Didn't he? To die for my sins, and that's why he came to this earth, was to go to the cross. But I wonder about, is there something special about for Judas? How could you be the one? Of all the people out there, you're the one that denied, that betrayed him to be crucified. I also think that about Pilate. Of all the people out there, you're the one that washed your hands and said, "Go ahead, do with him what you will." How could that be? So number one, it's very dangerous to betray Jesus Christ. And that's not really, I am going to talk about that this morning. But more importantly, I want to say something this. I think Judas lived a very frustrated life for those 3 years. I want you to think about this. Go with this mental process with me. How could you sit there with 11 other men and watch somebody get saved, and those 11 other men are extremely excited, but there's nothing here? And you watch a miracle happen, and you watch Peter lay his hands on somebody. The first time, I can imagine, the first time Peter laid his hands on somebody, and that person had an unclean spirit, and that unclean spirit went away. And I mean, Peter was, you know how Peter was. He was very bombastic anyway. And he was totally excited. I mean, couldn't wait to tell everybody about it. And Judas did the same thing, and he felt nothing. He sits in a church service, and he sees God move in the lives of other people, but there's nothing. He tries. He tries to build up an emotion, but it's not there. He goes to church perhaps every Sunday, but there's nothing there. When the preacher preaches, he doesn't ever get anything. Say, Brother Chad, that's kind of like what I feel like. Hang on, all right? Hang on. We're going somewhere with this. I try to live my life observing people. Most of you probably know that. I watch people, they go through ups and downs. There's been times I've been closer to God than other times in my life, and I'm not talking about that. We all go through ups and downs times. But I watch people that get very frustrated with themselves because they just can't seem to do what's right. They want to, and they know to do what's right, but it just seems like it's easier to do what's wrong than it is to do what's right. You know what I mean? Have you ever noticed people like that? And maybe that's you. Brother Chad, I try to do what's right. I try to obey. I try to serve God, but it's just I don't have a desire to. I just don't feel like it. Okay? They have a natural lean to not do what's right. That person gets frustrated. You know who else gets frustrated? Those that are in authority get frustrated. You know, we've got young people here that grow up in our church. You know, it's frustrating when you try to get somebody to do what's right, and you try and you try and you try, and that person really does at times make an effort to do what's right, but it just seems like they always fall down. That's not they're a bad person. It's just like they can't seem to get it. And then you've got others that you say something and they have a desire to serve God and they have a desire to want to do what's right. What's the difference? What's the difference? Bro, Chad, I'm trying to do what's right, but I just feel so empty. I come to church, but I don't come to church because I want to come to church. I come to church because I'm supposed to come to church. I feel so empty. Let me ask you, do you have an empty spot? Do you have that hole? Was Judas as complacent as a lot of people I see in our church today? I wonder if anything ever stirred in the heart of Judas when he spent time with God. I wonder if the things of God ever really did satisfy Judas. Did Judas have an empty spot? Did Judas have an out of place? When he went on youth trips, did he feel uncomfortable? Did he feel uncomfortable? When he was sitting with Jesus, did he feel uncomfortable? Did he feel uncomfortable? Did Judas perform miracles and get thrilled about what God did through him? What eventually caused Judas, listen to this, what eventually caused Judas to betray Jesus? Was it the fact that nothing he ever did for Jesus Christ felt real, so he felt that Jesus Christ was not real? Think about that. Was it the fact that Jesus, well, if did this go through Judas's mind? I don't think he's real, so I'm just going to betray him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. 30 pieces of silver. Hey, I can make some money here. Was it because that nothing he ever did for Jesus was real? Was it all a fake? I've kind of wondered about this. And a couple months ago, I was helping my dad, and this is the illustration. And we'll be out of here quickly today, I promise. I was helping my dad, and he bought a dump truck a couple years ago, and he decided to sell it, and he wasn't using it. And so I was helping him get it ready to sell, and we painted it. And I'm not a professional painter. Many in here are much better painters than I am, but I can spray paint on something, okay? So it's not rocket science, all right? So I was painting his truck, and we got the cab all. I don't remember what we painted first. I don't remember. With the bed, I think we painted the bed first. And we was painting it black, okay? And we was painting it and painting it, and I come to this spot, and I painted it, right? I'm wearing my respirator, and I painted this thing. I painted it black, and I looked at it, and I go on. I keep moving around, and then I come back to the spot, and there's a white spot there. I'm like, I know I just painted that thing. And I thought, there's some kind of dust or fleck or something that got in my paint. So I painted it again. You know, I mean, the professional painter that I am, I didn't pick it out. I just painted over it, right? So I painted that thing again. And, you know, I'm just going along. I'm painting. And I come back, and it's still there. I'm like, now, hang on a second. I know I painted that twice already. I know I've painted that twice. And now at this point, those of you that have painted very much, I'm getting on the verge of runs right now. Okay? So I'm painted again. I'm like, I'll get that thing. So I specifically went over and I painted that thing. And as soon as my paint fan went past it, that white appeared again. What in the world? I've never painted something that was like that. And I got looking at it, and I got down and I looked, and I could see the other side of the truck bed through that white spot. You know what I was doing? I was painting a hole. I was painting a hole. And I thought about bringing my whole spray thing in here, but I thought people would not like that. So this is what I was doing. Now, obviously, this is a larger hole, okay? That would be, you know, necessary of a patch, probably. But I was. I painted across it one direction. I painted across the other direction. I mean, I'm starting to get paint where it's starting to, you know, those of you that have painted, it's starting to sag just a little bit, all right? That's not a good spot. And so I painted that thing, and I painted it again, and I painted it again. But you know, no matter how many times I painted it, there was still a hole. I thought that I was just painting a speck. But no matter how many times I painted it, nothing would ever stick there because there was a hole. A hole. You know, I think in our, and sometimes I see this, I think this is what happened. Honestly, you know, the third time I painted that, I was aggravated with it. It's like, why won't this paint stick to this spot? I can't get the paint to stick. Everything I do, I mean, I've painted it three times, and every time I paint it, comes back. Because I was trying to paint a hole. You know, I think Judas, I think for 3 years of his life, Judas tried to paint a hole. Judas did the right things for 3 years of his life. If you would, Judas went to church for the 3 years of his life. Judas grew up under perfect circumstances for 3 years of his life. But every time Jesus did something and went across it with paint, when Judas should have felt something that was good, and he should have been, it should have affected him like everybody else, it didn't, because all that good that he was trying to do was me. It was like me trying to paint this hole. There was something missing in Judas. Brother Chad, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, listen, if you get frustrated because it just doesn't seem like you can live the Christian life, has it ever occurred to you that maybe you can't live the Christian life because you're not a Christian? Has it ever occurred to you that it is very frustrating when you're trying to paint something and there's a hole there, and you're trying to make that, you're trying to conform something that is not even conformable. The Bible says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You can't conform something that's not there. Some people, they have, now, you know, I understand addictions. I don't understand them. I can't say that in that way. But I understand people that go through addictions, and it's something hard to kick. Okay? But you say, Brother Chad, it just doesn't seem like I can do this. I can't do this. Let me just ask you something. Is there somebody in there that's helping you do that? Or is every time you try to kick your addiction on yourself, by yourself, there's something there that's missing? And you just can't do it. You know, it is impossible to paint a hole. Believe me, I tried. I did. I tried to paint that hole. But you can't paint a hole. I don't care. I could put 40 coats of paint on this piece of cardboard, and I cannot paint that hole. It goes right through it. Young people, is that the way you're living your life? Do you live your life going to youth training hour or riding the bus to church, but there's something missing inside? Is that the way you live your life? What caused Judas to eventually betray? I think Judas never had this spot filled in his life. He never had that. And so because he never had that, yeah, it was easy to betray Jesus Christ. I don't understand that feeling. I don't understand that emotion. Hey, I know Christianity is not all about emotion, but there ought to be something. If somebody walks down the aisle and something good happens and somebody goes across and God takes his spray gun of good, if you would, and paints across your life and you don't feel anything right here, could it be that there is something missing right here? Brother Chad, I know I'm saved. Well, there are people that know they're saved, but you know, when you get so far away from God, sometimes you don't hear the voice of God. I've used this illustration before. You know, you can't, if you put earmuffs on and you wrap your head in duct tape and bubble wrap, all right, you're not going to hear somebody talk very well. Well, if you, that's a kind of a humorous thought anyway. If you do that and you put so much world around you, you're not going to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. You know, I think that's where Peter was. Sorry, Bro Chad, did Peter have this hole? No. I don't think he did. But Peter got caught up in the things of the world. He said, I'm going to go fishing. His old occupation, I'm going to go fishing. What was the difference between Peter and Judas? Well, Peter got a bunch of stuff here and he couldn't see the result. But Judas, he didn't even have anything here for them to see a result. That was the difference. Young people, I just want to challenge you. And like I said, it's not going to take long today. But I think if you get frustrated, and that's a good sign, honestly. I'm glad you're frustrated that you don't feel anything. But is it because there's nothing there for you to feel? Does the Holy Spirit live in your heart? The Bible says that that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. But Chad, I don't ever hear the Holy Spirit talk to me and bear witness with my spirit. That should be a red flag in your life. Do you never feel anything about the things of God? And people, Judas spent 3 years living his life this way. Some people spend their whole life living this, their life with a hole. And they put on a facade and they go to church and they smile because they're supposed to smile and they sing because they're supposed to sing, but there's a hole. And you know, there's the song, "Only Jesus Can Satisfy My Soul." For Chad, I don't want to be an emotional type person, but I don't ever feel any emotion about the things of God. Well, could it be that there's a hole there? Let me just say, you won't be painted. I worry about, you know, I know pastor and parents, I think this may be true too. Especially with little kids. Okay, for instance, let me just use a personal illustration. You know, with Emily just got saved a few weeks ago. She's 6, and we were very, very careful. I've dealt with enough kids, okay? I am almost gun-shy about dealing with kids, especially with mine. I don't know. I don't want to be uncaring. I don't want to sound like I'm uncaring about other children, okay? But as I said this morning, our kids come out of Mrs. Walton's class, and they know all the answers. A 6-year-old can tell you how to be saved. A 6-year-old. And that's good. That's good. But the only problem with that is there has to be a drawing of the Holy Spirit for that young person to be saved. Okay? And if you just sit down and say, you know, do you know Jesus, you know, what did Jesus do for you? He died. Why did he have to die? For my sins. You know, are you a sinner? Yes. And I'm happy about it. You know? There has to be that drawing of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a recognition, like I taught this morning in Sunday school, there has to be a recognition of God is here and I'm down here. And there has to be that recognition, okay? But you know what's frustrating as a parent sometimes, and I'm speaking from very limited experience because my children aren't very old, but you try to get your kids to do what's right. And how many times have you told your child to do the same thing? Over and over and over and over. You know what you're doing? Right here. You know how frustrating that is? But that's what you're doing. You're painting, you're trying to get your child to do something that they don't have the nature to do. We are not by nature obedient people. A child isn't by nature, I'm just going to do whatever my mom and dad want me to do because I just want to do it. I wasn't that way. I did what I was supposed to do because I got paddled if I didn't do it. Okay? But you know what you, and that's frustrating as a parent sometimes, especially, I think probably, and I can't say this from experience, but I think probably this would make sense. The older the young person gets, and you try to get them to do what's right, and it just doesn't stick. You have to tell them over and over, and you're like, I am so frustrated. Listen, maybe that's time that we should really look at, is there something there that can be painted? Now, I hate to use the term painted because that sounds like a facade. But if there's nothing there, it's not going to stick anyway. Okay? And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I think my wife would testify this too. In the last few weeks since Emily got saved, do you still have to tell her to do the same things? Yes. And tell her and tell her and reiterate it and tell her. But you know what? There's almost like a difference. It's like she understands, and you know what it is? I can't explain it, and I'm not very good with words anyway, but my words, but if it's always you're struggling to get a young person to do what's right, maybe it's because there's something there that's not, you're trying to paint something that's not there. So, Brother Chad, what should I do about it? Well, remember, everybody has their own choice. Judas has his own decision. Young people, you have your own decision. But if you get frustrated, Brother Chad, I just get frustrated. It is frustrating, believe me. I was trying to paint that hole for several minutes. And I never could do it. I never could do it. You need to check your heart. Check your heart. Brother Chad, why do young people grow up in this isn't a perfect environment. But I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is as good of an environment as you will get where you're at right now. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know how you can get a better environment for a young person to do what's right. But we can't fill the hole in. We can paint it and paint it and paint it and paint it and paint it. But young person, you and Jesus have to get him to this conclusion right here. I got to fill this in. Why did Judas betray Jesus? Why did he spend 3 years painting something that is because he was painting something that wasn't there? And Judas went out and hung himself. Self-destructed. Let me just ask you, I want you to think about this. Like I said, when I prayed this morning, I don't know that it's something that you will have to decide on today. But you need to look at this. You need to look at this. Are you just painting a hole in life? Let me ask you this. Have you spent the last 40 years painting a hole? I don't know who's here. The Bible says, many in that day will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many miracles? Have we not cast out devils? And Jesus will look and say, ah, you may have. Judas did too. Judas was sent two by two to preach and to cast out devils and to work miracles. But when Jesus looks at your heart, he says, I'm sorry. It's not there. Look at your heart. Like I said, this is not something, this may take some time. This may take some time. But we need to recognize where we're at. Parents, I know for me, and for maybe some of the young, Brother Chad, do you get frustrated with young people at church? Oh, yeah. I do. But I hurt for them because I think sometimes a parent or one in authority, I can see the hole that I'm trying to paint because it keeps coming back. Every time it comes back. And it causes me concern. Look at your hearts. This wasn't long. I didn't mean for it to be long. You're going to be really happy with me. You get home early. All right? But this is something I want you to take with you this week. You may be, you say, Brother Chad, I've been going to this church for 40 years since it was started. Doesn't matter. You could still have a hole there. You could be going, this could be your second week here, and you can still have a hole there. Are you frustrated? Are you ready to give it? Are you ready to figure out what the problem is yet? Let's pray. Father, Lord, it was a food for thought message. It was something to think about. God, I can't see people's hearts. Lord, that is something you alone can do. Lord, but I can see the effects of trying to get somebody to do what's right. And it just doesn't seem like it. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense. It just doesn't seem like it ever takes. Lord, I think there are people, just based on sheer statistics and what the Bible says, I believe that there are people in here who have spent years, maybe decades, painting a hole. God, I can't see the hearts, and I don't pretend to see the hearts. Lord, but when they stand before you, Lord, it doesn't matter how much paint they put on it, there's still a hole there. God, I pray that they would get that fixed, get that settled. Lord, I believe that it would make a world of difference in the way that they live their life if the things that they try to do are real, the emotions that they try to have are real. God, I pray that you just bless us this week. Help us to take this thought with us and perhaps apply it to our lives. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.